Hi, everybody. It's Greg Golden with you. Thank you so much for joining us on another podcast on Forsyth Sports 365. This one, a Coach's Corner featuring the South Forsyth War Eagle football squad. And we couldn't do that if we didn't have a couple of guys here on this podcast. We're broadcasting today from our home studio, and therefore on the other end, we've got Doug Thomas. Hi, Doug. How you doing, man?
How are you doing, Greg? Yeah, this is a little different for me, too, not being on site with Coach, and I hope for the rest of them I can be, but looking forward to this one and getting things started.
Yeah, well, this is one that we have the technology to bring it all in, and of course, the head coach of the South Forsyth War Eagles football squad, Troy Morris. Hi, Coach. Welcome to the broadcast.
Hey, guys. It's, I like having you guys come in a lot more, but we'll do what we got to do and make this one work.
Yeah, we do like to be there as well, but this is one of the – it's a scrimmage, right? So this is kind of our scrimmage thing. We're going to be able to work it out, get the iron out the bugs before we come down and visit with you. All right. Well, Coach, great to have you with us today. I had just a couple of things I wanted to touch base with before we get into the 2023 squad. First of all, how's your son, Gavin? How's he doing up there at Sanford? Is he getting bigger? Is he putting on some weight there?
Yeah, that's been a big goal of his, is to put on weight. He's playing linebacker up there, so he went in lighter than what he should have, or what he, you know, he needed to be. So he's really focused on that, and he has. He's put on some weight, which has helped. This is the toughest part of college football right now, the fall camp stuff, and where it's just a lot of meetings and real tough practices, and he's just dead in the middle of that. So it's tough, but he's enjoying it. You know, so but
how big is
great.
He now? What's he weighing now? Right now,
he went in last year at about 206, I think, and I think right now he's 219.
All right.
So I think about 225 is probably his ideal spot, but we'll see. Like I said, it's helping as long as he doesn't slow down too much and he's able to put that weight on. But he's doing good, man. He's happy. He's healthy. So I think that they're going to have a pretty good team again this year.
Have you heard from Nathanophobia at Michigan?
I saw him this weekend. Unfortunately, we were at a funeral, and I saw him there, but we weren't able to talk. I haven't heard much from him, so I'm sure he's going through the same stuff and going through that grind right now, that fall camp grind.
Well, you know, Jim Harbaugh, he likes to get into the submarine in the preseason. You know, he don't want anybody talking about anybody. Just do his thing. How about Ty Watkins? I know you've chatted with him. You told us that you've texted with him a few times. He's up at Austin Peay in Tennessee. What a year from him.
Yeah, he and I text quite a bit, and he's doing the same stuff. I mean, it's just a grind. It's meetings and practice and lifting and running. And, I mean, it's serious, but he's loving it. He's loving the staff, the school, even though it's hard. Like I said, he's doing what he loves, and he's doing great. He's like I said, I think it's a good spot for him so far, and he's competing, and he's a big learning curve. That quarterback spot's a big learning curve. But he's enjoying it, so that's the important thing.
Doug, what do you got going in here before we start talking about this 2023 squad?
Yeah, well, I mean, I really enjoyed hearing about the other players that have gone. And Coach, I would imagine for Gavin being his second year, at least he knew what to expect and how to prepare and everything. So I would imagine that helped him quite a bit.
It did. He was a lot less anxious this time. You know, you go in and you got some familiarity with the staff and the other players and, you know, the campus and, you know, it's just everything isn't new, and that helped a lot. Yeah. I don't know if it necessarily makes it a lot easier, but it definitely makes it where you don't have all that anxiety going into it.
I don't think Coach Hatcher is going to make anything easier, but that's good. Yeah, but love hearing about the other players. Well, yeah, let's move on to South Forsyth. And obviously, first thing I want to know is how was the transition moving into pads? It had to been good for the boys. I mean, when they just, you know, when they're in helmets and just running and plays and, you know, and everything, and then finally get into pads and get into being able to hit some people. What was that like?
You know, it's always, you know, at the beginning, there's so much excitement because the guys have been in just helmets all summer and lifting and running and doing all those things. And when they finally get to hit and play real football, you know, there's always guys that move up the depth chart, down the depth chart, because once you start playing that kind of football, it's different. I thought our guys did great, man. They went out there. They were very physical. They didn't slow down at all. And it was just, I don't know, we've had some really good practices, basically a week and a half now. and the kids, they understand we have different tempos that we have to practice at certain times, and they handle those tempos really, really well. I don't know. It's just, it's been really good. I've just been pleased with everything when it comes to getting in the pads and actually getting to play some football.
You just hit, you hit the one early on there that I was wondering is, you know, cause like you said, you can see, so you can see only so much when you're, you know, in just helmets and, you know, and t-shirts and everything. But is there, you know, have you seen several positions you were like, wow, this was not what I was expecting, and you know, wasn't planning for that, you know, this kid at all, but he's going to be somewhere different because based on what you're seeing?
Well, to be honest with you, it's almost like the kids, most of them were maybe all of them, they were what we thought. You know, whenever you're in helmets and guys are doing certain things at a certain speed, they're going really, really fast. You get into pads, you don't want them to slow down. If anything, you can speed up a little bit more. And our kids did that. I mean, they've sped up. So they don't shy away from contact. They've been very physical. Just all of the you know, of course, we're not perfect. I mean, we haven't even played yet. But just for where we are in our season, we've been pleased with that.
Coach, we had a big vote recently, and you've got your captains for the 2023 season. How about spilling the beans? Who's on the list?
Well, our players select our captains. The coaches don't have anything to do with it. We do a private vote, and I think our guys did a great job this year. They selected six captains. I hope I get them all right here. Let's see. We got Kate Acock is a captain. We've got John Dabbs, Chris Brown, Cade Jackia, Cooper Lowe, and Cole Yeager. I think I got all six of them.
You got six this year.
Is that all six of them? I hope I didn't miss anybody.
Yeah, you got six in there. That's a nice little round number.
Yeah, they did a great job. Those guys have had incredible off seasons, and they've just done everything we've asked of them, and they're great on the field, off the field. You know, but like we tell our team, those guys can't be our only leaders. We have to have leaders on the more leaders than just that as we go through the season. Guys leading in the classroom, guys leading in the community, just making good decisions. And more guys that we have lead, I think the better we're going to be.
Let me tell you, Coach, I watched the Media Day presentation where the Forsyth County News interviewed you, and you had Cooper Lowe, you had Kate Acock, you had Cade Jackia and Cole Yeager on set with you there. And the one thing that struck me, and we'll get to quarterbacks in a second, but just talking about Cade Acock, the thing that struck me about him was poise. He seemed very poised during that interview. And that's going to be an important thing as he takes over the reins as the senior quarterback.
He was, and he's a coach's kid, which I think helps. You know, whenever you're a coach's kid, you've heard the lingo, you've been around coaching your whole life, so you kind of get it. You know, you kind of get how the game is played and how things are ran. And Cade gets it. He gets it when it comes to our offense. He knows our offense very well. He's coachable, and he's very poised. That's a good word for him. And I'm going to tell you something else about Cade. He's a competitor. He wants to win. He's got a lot of fire in him, and I like that about him.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree. I was very impressed listening to him and all the boys as well. I thought they all did a great job. So let's move on. We got a scrimmage this week, and now, you know, it's going to be nice because obviously you're going to be – the boys get to hit some other players and everything. And just talk a little bit about, because obviously I know, I mean, no team on either side puts by this time has a complete offense or anything put into play. But just tell me what's really overall, what are you looking for as a coach when it comes to a scrimmage game like this, which is a week before the season starts?
Well, really three things. One, I want our guys to play hard. I want them to play as hard as they can possibly play. That's a decision. That has nothing to do with your ability. It's just a decision, and I want our guys to make that decision that when they're out there, they play as hard as they possibly can. Second, I want us to execute. I want us to line up right. I want us to make the exchanges, you know, from the quarterback to center to the running back. I just want to make the easy things easy. It's what we say around here a lot. Line up right defensively. Be where you're supposed to be. If we're bringing pressure, go to the right places. And then third, third, I'd like to see – we're going to go young in the fourth quarter, but in those first three quarters, we're going to sub guys in, and I want to see some people. Get them under the lights that haven't been under the lights much and or at all, and I want to give guys a chance to compete out there in the scrimmage. And so so we can get them on film. And then the last thing would be just to stay healthy. Hopefully we stay healthy.
Yeah, no, that's excellent. You know, because that is one thing. I mean, that's the great part of a scrimmage game is let you work out some kinks and stuff. And like you said, there's going to be some penalties and misalignments and stuff and everything. So that's what's great to work out through that. When it comes to the game, and obviously you just said that obviously you're going to go younger fourth quarter. But is there any other certain rules that we're not doing? Is it rigging? Are we doing special teams or anything? Or what can the fans expect to see or not to see when it comes to just versus a normal game?
So the only special teams that will not be live are kickoff and kickoff return. We'll put the guys out there and still kick it. But the guy, you know, you won't run down a tackle. You just run just a little ways. Those two things will be dead. Everything else will be live, and then our quarterbacks will be non-contact. Those guys, our quarterback and their quarterback will be in different colored jerseys, and we're not going to make them live. Everything else is just like a game.
Okay, and then anything like punts, everything else, it's fun them, and go tackle to the ground. Everything.
Quarter times are going to be the same, like a normal game.
Like a game outside of that. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's fantastic. I know we're looking forward to getting some football started. We actually had a game at the field last night. It was a middle school game. It got me excited thinking about Friday night.
Yeah, it's in the air, man. It's here. You know, it's just you blink and it's on you. So, you know, it felt like it was a long ways away not long ago. And then, like I said, here it is. You know, we're playing Friday night here against Shiloh, and it's exciting. It's exciting, man.
Coach, this will be your first season not calling the plays. And we talked about this a little bit during the spring broadcast, but now you've had a chance to do it here heading into the season. Do you miss it? Is it how are you adjusting to that?
Well, I'll let you know whenever on the Friday night gets here. I trust the offensive staff. You know, I trust Coach Hover. He's done a great job. He and I are very similar. He's going to have his own little flair to it. But the things that how we've called games and then just our philosophies, we're in line with one another. So that helps a lot. As far as over the summer and things like that, I'll be honest with you, I haven't missed it as much as I thought I would. I've jumped in there here or there and called some plays. And I go down and call some freshman plays during practice or JV, just to be honest with you, just to kind of stay in touch with it. But I haven't missed it as much as I thought, and I think it's because I'm so secure in the guys that are doing it. You know, I don't have a lot of anxiety about whether they can do it or not. I'm real confident that Coach Over is going to do a great job on the offensive side of the ball. And like I said, my focus has been on quarterbacks on the offensive side more than anything. So I've been good with it. So I've stayed busy for sure.
So, you know, what you just said there, so I would imagine, obviously, with Coach Over taking over the play calling and everything, that has opened up a lot more time for you, like you said, to focus on the quarterbacks and everything. Because, you know, no matter what, if you're the guy calling the plays and you're in practice and trying to work with other things, you know, that's a lot to go on where now you can be more focused on, you know, some of the key details in the game.
Yeah, it's helped me a lot. It really has when it comes to just making the quarterback a priority. I've always worked with them and things like that. But just when we run a play in practice, my focus is on him, you know, the little details, footwork, reads, timing, all those things. I'm really able to focus in on him quite a bit more than what I have been able to in the past. So that's helped me. And then, you know, doing the scripts and things like that, that's taken some off of my plate, which has helped just in the overall practice and the planning and all the logistics and things that I got to deal with. That's just freed me up for some of that as well. So time management has definitely helped me focus on some other things. But as far as missing it on Friday night and things, we'll see.
We'll see how that goes. Well, I tell you, I look forward to the regular season. Cause I don't think we'll be able to see, you know, we will learn a whole lot on Friday, but I look forward to the regular season to really see what the similarities are between play calling between you and Coach Hover, and then how he mixes things up and maybe how he, you know, does things a little different as, you know, on each play and then setting up other plays and everything. So I look forward to seeing that as the season goes on. Cause I don't, like I said, I don't expect we'll see everything on Friday night.
No, you won't see everything. He and I have already talked and we talked about, the things that we're going to leave out and what we're wanting to run and what we want it to look like. So we it's not the whole playbook Friday. That's Friday night.
Coach, are we still going to come out of the H-back formation? I ask you that every season, but that's a core core formation for you in the offense. Are we going to stay with that?
Well, that's the kind of the nuts and bolts of our offense. That's where we start every year. And then from there, it goes based around who we have, you know, with our players. Our players determine where we go from there. So you call it the H-back, it's the pistol, is essentially what it is. And we went to that back in 2000, and I think it was 15, whenever we kind of jumped on the scene and had that incredible season. It's been a really good offense for us, and we're always going to stick to that. We run it at all three levels, and at all three levels, that offense may look, you know, different based off of who we have. You know, people ask me, what are you heavy run, heavy throw? It just depends on who we have as a team. You know, I think if our best offense is when we're balanced and we're not super, super heavy one way or the other. But it's just based off of our players and our talent. That's kind of where we gear it.
You know, one thing I'd like to go to is and actually move away from the varsity a little bit and talk about, I know you do spend time with obviously the freshman team and everything, and talk a little bit about that freshman team that's coming up. And I'd like to see, because we know that, you know, where most of them came from and the success they had. And are you seeing a big difference between this freshman group coming up versus others in the past, or pretty much what you've always seen in the past?
This is a talented bunch. We got a number of kids from Lakeside, and everybody knows what their record was and their success. And then got some good players from the other two feeders as well, from South and from Piney. So putting those guys together and fitting the pieces together from all three of those schools, that's always fun for us. It's always enjoyable to see those guys, you know, go from three different feeder schools to meshing into just, you know, the South Forsyth War Eagles. Those guys are tight now. It's amazing how fast those guys have become close. And, you know, comparing them to other seeds, we'll see. I know that they're very, very talented, but they still have to go out and play. You know, they can't live off of what they did in middle school. So we'll see how this season goes. And it'll be easier to compare if we need to do that down the road. Right now, I think that they got a lot of potential. So, but you know what that potential is until you go get to do it. It don't mean a whole lot. So we got to go out there and prove it. And they're going to get a chance to do that in a couple of weeks. And as far as practice and all that, man, they look great. They've had really, really good practices. And they're hungry. These guys are not satisfied. And if there's a mistake or something like that, they're really hungry to fix it. They're great in the weight room. They work really hard in there. So they're doing all the things that our program, you know, our ninth grade programs in the past have done. And as far as their work ethic and all those things, and in the past, it's always turned out that it's been beneficial. It's benefited them. So we hope that it does the same thing for these guys.
That's good. And I tell you what, I look forward to seeing them all in the stands on a Friday night, watching the game, and looking forward to what they get to do, you know, in the coming years at South. So, hey, look, I know everybody, I'm sure the student body, everybody's looking forward to getting Friday night going. I know we are for sure, you know, get back in the box, and, you know, Greg back in the box, and start doing some podcasts and stuff. So, but looking forward to a great season. That's for sure.
Hey, I want to know, Coach, what you know about Shiloh. They brought an interesting squad in the scrimmage last year. Now they're bringing it in, the team down to South Side. What do you know about this team?
Well, you know, last year they had a lot of speed. They were really, really fast. And then they got us a time or two on the deep ball. Offensively, I know that we were able to move the ball on them, on their defense. We didn't capitalize a couple of times. I don't know what they have and what they've had coming back. I know their quarterback from last year is gone. Both of their backups were sophomores. But you never know these days. I mean, they may have gotten move ins. They may have had move outs. Who knows? But I don't know exactly what they have. It's a little bit harder in a scrimmage to find out a whole lot of information on guys because we don't have any film on them. Rosters haven't been posted yet. If you go off based off of last year's, you know, you can find some information on them. But it's just hard to see where they ended up because we didn't get film on them throughout the year or anything like that. So I expect them to have speed again and be a well-coached football team. But really, to be honest with you, you know, we know how if they line up like they did last year, we have a good idea how they're going to line up. And what we tell our kids, it's more about us anyways. It's about us. If we play like we're capable of playing and then doing the things that I told you we're looking for in the scrimmage, the score takes care of itself.
Who's going to be your starting running back? Is it Cole? Cole Yeager?
Yeah, Cole will be the starter. Cole Yeager will be the starter. And we really got four guys that can tote it back there. So all four of them get a chance to run it. And Cole will go first, though.
Well, I imagine we'll see it. We'll see pretty much everybody on Friday night, which is good. And also, it's also the scrimmage. It's nice to have the scrimmage for the players, like, you know, that maybe won't see a lot of playing time during the season to get out on the field, like you said, in the fourth quarter and everything.
Yeah.
And let them get some experience under the lights. So that'll be exciting.
Mm-hmm. Greg, did you want me to name them? Is that what you said? I didn't hear you.
Yeah. I was just going to say, who's the stable of running backs this year?
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't hear what you had said. Yeah. So Cole will go first. Like I said, we've got four very capable guys that can run it back there. You've got Braden Ballou. You've got Baylor Duncan. And then Luke Nelson. Those are the four guys that they've all looked great at practice running the football. So they'll all get a chance to run it Friday night.
We saw some good flashes from those guys in the spring game from all of them. And so I'm pretty excited, too, to see how they run the ball.
Well, the nice thing is they all bring something a little bit different. You know, they don't run the same. So they're all have their own little styles to them, which I think that's important whenever you're facing defenses. You know, some defenses kind of get geared up for one guy or the next. And then, you know, they kind of get a different feel from one back to the next. So I think that may be a little bit tougher, more of an advantage for us whenever we're trying to run the ball.
Well, you know, also, too, I mean, when you've got a stable of running backs like that, which is such great depth, I mean, that means you can always have a fresh pair of legs coming into that game against maybe a defense that's just been worn down a little bit on a drive, and you bring some fresh legs in and get that extra burst. But that's a great group of guys you named there.
Yeah, there's no fall off with those four guys. And that's the thing is when you bring the next guy in, you don't want there to be a fall off. You want, you know, if you get a defense that's tired and reeling a little bit, if you can put another guy in there that is still just as effective, that's what you want to be able to do. And like I said, I feel like we've got four guys right now that can do that.
Yeah. I tell you, my big thing with Cole Yeager this year is he used to the number change. I had him down pat with his number. He changed his number three this year. So I'm going to get used to that one. And there's a couple.
Thanks for the tip, Doug.
Yeah, we always run into a few that do that. I there might have been others, but I noticed he did. And I know Davis Little, it's going to be tough looking. I'm used to 93 or whatever it was, and now I got used to number 15. So I got to watch what I'm doing there. Tell you. Yeah, when them seniors leave and they give up that number, those next guys, they get to pick which one they wanted. So
I think parents, they're always like, we're so used to it, and a lot of them buy these special little things that have numbers on them. They're like, now I got to go do this.
So, you know, it's all good, though. All fun, though. Well, all right. Well, we're looking forward to Friday night. Greg, what else do you have? I think I've gotten everything I need for this week.
Well, let's make sure we know that the start time is 7:30, like a normal game.
Yep.
We're just going to have
– We're at home. That's the most important thing.
Yeah,
we're at home.
That's right.
We will, like you said, Greg, start time 7:30. Everything from, you know, I mean, on-field stuff is we don't have a lot of on-field presentations or anything, but everything else is the same. We will be introducing everybody. Come out and see. We have the new tunnel, after the other one we had for Lord knows how many years, we got a brand new tunnel for the guys to run through. So we're excited to debut that. And but other than that, we'll have everything, the whole crew, everybody, everything on the field is as normal, just like it's a regular game.
And Coach, during the media days broadcast, the guy brought up the screech. You actually had a chance to comment on the screech. That is a key component at South Versailles Stadium, right?
Oh, no doubt. I love it. It means we're doing something good out there, and I wish they would crank it as loud as they could possibly crank it. And I love our new tradition of at the end of the third quarter, turning the lights out. I don't know. I think we do some cool things here that creates a little bit more excitement, adds to the atmosphere. And the screech is, ever since we started doing it, that's been my favorite.
Yeah. I tell you what, and don't think I didn't. When I was listening to Media Days, I noted that one again as well. And I told Mark, on that one. I said, so we're going to make sure and keep it. It's amazing. People either love it or they hate it. I love it like you. I think it's awesome. It means we've done something good. And so it's.
Well, I heard people complaining from the other teams and all that, and I just say good.
Yeah, good. That's exactly right. That's a home field advantage, right?
Yeah. It's funny. Like when that thing goes off, I always have the fear of something going wrong and it not stopping.
That may change things. That may change what I think of it if it doesn't stop.
No, but it's set and ready to go. No, so we're looking forward. It's a scrimmage for ourselves as well,
Coach. Before we go, let me just. We haven't talked much about the defense and Coach Arnett's impact on that squad. Is it playing out like everybody expects? You know, that guy's a great coach. Are the kids responding to him? Are you happy with what you're seeing on that defensive side of the ball?
Oh, absolutely. Coach Arnett, I mean, heck, guys, I don't have to say anything about him. Y'all know him and what he brings to a program. And the kids, of course, yeah, they have responded very well to him. Our staff has responded great to him. It's just been an absolute blessing having him around again. He's just a phenomenal coach. He's forgot more defense than I'd ever pretend to know. Just a huge asset. So just to have him down there and calling our plays on the defensive side of the ball, just super, super grateful to have him down there doing that for us this year. So excited for him and excited to have him a part of it.
And I also wanted to mention Jared Honey. Is he getting a lot of grief from the kids? Because now here's a coach that's on your staff now that was the homecoming king a few years ago at South Versailles. Do you got a nickname for him? Do you call him King or anything like that? Did you tease him regard?
I'll tell you what, man, if our kids are listening, Coach Honey may come after you because I'm sure that we ain't heard none of that stuff. They probably didn't even know that. Now that you put it out there, they're probably going to come up with a nickname. He may not be too happy with you.
Oh, well, I have to face him down, man. We got to have nicknames, right?
Yeah. No, there hadn't been any of that yet mentioned. But also, Honey's a pretty serious guy. And, you know, he's probably not someone you want to mess with too much.
He may be the only coach in the state of Georgia that has returned to his school to coach after being the homecoming king. That's an honor.
He might be. I didn't even know. I forgot he was the homecoming king. Now that you say that, I do remember it. But no, Coach Honey's awesome, man. We're fortunate to have him back and excited that he's part of the program again. And he's doing a great job. Kids have responded well to him as well.
Well, they should. And I know he's been very helpful to me with rosters and everything. So I'm thrilled he's back as well. Good young man, that's for sure.
Well, Doug, we're looking forward to hearing you get your voice back on the field mic again. It's always a pleasure to work with you and have that presence in the background on our field, Mike, picking you up and picking up your calls because we don't have a spotter. So it's nice when you bring in the down and distance and correct us on the field position and whatnot. I'm sure you're ready to go. You're honed up. You've been warming up a little bit, right?
Oh yeah, we are, and the guys, same group of guys, you know, with me that you know, I mean, you know, Scott Kugelman's one of my spotters. JJ Brinkerhoff is one of my spotters. We got Rick Sears that does the clock. We got Mark Rogers, you know, that runs the board and does all the music and everything. So, and then which is excellent. And we'll have the you know same group back running the cameras and everything this year. So, yep. And it's good. Like Simon said, I'm glad for us to have a this week as well because we'll you know we're run through some little kinks and things, and it's nice to have a scrimmage for us too.
Well, we're expecting a big crowd, right, Coach?
I hope so. I think I haven't really looked at the weather, but
I have
earlier in the week.
It's going to be nice.
You have? Does it look good?
Yep, looks great.
Yeah, so I would expect there to be one. And like I said, the first time you get a chance to go out and watch some high school football, I think that a lot of people get excited about that. So hopefully we get a bunch of people out to support our kids and our coaches in the school. And like I said, the kids are looking forward to it. And I think they'll be happy with what they see.
Well, we're all looking forward to the call, Coach. Go out there, have fun. You know, it's a chance to get a lot of kids some experience out there in the early season and see who might be ready to step up during the regular season. I'm tickled pink that I'll be able to get into the press box this week and and call the game Friday night. So I'm looking forward to it. Y'all have fun. There's nothing like a ball game at War Eagle Stadium. I'm telling you what, Southwest Scythe puts on a big show, and I'm definitely looking forward to it Friday night.
Me too, man. You get me fired up. Can't wait.
Absolutely.
All right, Doug Thomas, thank you very much for joining us. Coach Morris, thank you so much for joining us. It's going to be a big night, Friday night. Listen, y'all be at the stadium. Be there a little early because it's a whole new entrance, as Doug had told you. We got a new tunnel, and that's just starting things off for the new season in a fine way. We'll have the broadcast starting at 7 p.m. The kickoff is at 7:30. It's a scrimmage, but it's football, and we'll have it for you. South Forsyth welcoming Shiloh into War Eagle Stadium Friday night right here on Forsyth Sports 365. We'll see you then.